All right, what a blessing it is to be here. So grateful for each and every one of you, and we're thankful the Lord's given us the opportunity to come before him this evening. Not a better place in the world to be than right here together before our God. And we want to thank the visitors among us. We're thankful that you're here. Just know you are an encouragement to us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now we're going to get back into our life and death series, and we hopefully are going to take a break from it for 3 weeks. We've got three more Lads to Leaders PowerPoints. Hopefully, I got to check with Olivia. We're going to do hers next Sunday, and then Ellie, and then Levi's PowerPoints. And so, you know, and it's on Revelation, the outlines that we're working on with them. I tried to match it up with the timeline of what we're covering on Wednesdays in the book of Revelation. So it's a little bit behind, but that's okay. I know they're going to do a good job, and we'll start that, Lord willing, next Sunday. So, and this was one that I did want to do toward the end of this series, because I think it's a very fascinating topic, and I think there's a lot of hope in understanding this, a lot of great motivation in this. As you see the title, Shall We Know Each Other There? I think it's a very uplifting topic to consider, and so I did want to do it toward the end, but then since doing Lads and Leaders, I moved it up just a little bit. In the 13th century, the famous Italian explorer Marco Polo, he returned to Venice from completing his journeys to the Far East. And when he got home, he began to describe some things that he had seen. But his close friends, they thought he went mad. He told them about black stones you could actually set fire to give you heat. They couldn't imagine what he was talking about. They had never heard of charcoal before. He told them about a piece of cloth that could not be set on fire, and they couldn't imagine what he was talking about. They had never heard of asbestos before. He told them about large animals over 20 feet long, which had jaws large enough to swallow a man. But they could not imagine what he was talking about. They had never seen a crocodile before. He told them about a black substance from the ground that could burn to provide heat and light, but they couldn't imagine what he was talking about, for they had never heard of crude oil before. And so many refused to listen to the wonderful things that he had seen and experienced, because it was just too far beyond their knowledge, thinking, and imagination. And in that, I want us to think about how comforting it is that God has a plan for us. You know, how comforting to know that he's provided us a way, and comforting to know that we have something far better to look forward to than what we see right here, right now, on this earth. And really, that's what this Life and Death series has been all about, right? Seeking and finding comfort that the creator and sustainer of life gives for us, right? And yeah, there's some things that are hard to understand, you know, but that's okay, right? Because we know that God who loves us supplies us with everything that we need, right? Everything pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, he gives us what we need. Not always what we want, but he gives us what we need. You know, what we need is to, you know, sustain hope, right? To look forward to what's beyond this physical world, right? And what we need many times is comfort, right? That's why Paul, if you remember, he writes to the church at Thessalonica, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, right? So these words about what happens next are meant to give us comfort. So I want us to examine that, and just a little bit of reminder here. You know, the purpose and why I think this study is so important. I've had a good handful of the brethren here after these lessons come up to me and say, thank you for this series, right? I always wondered about that, or I appreciate that because it's given me comfort. And so we really see what good a study like this does with the response that I'm getting here. And so we've talked about a lot of things here that, you know, we need to be reminded of that I think are very important questions that aren't always addressed in a lot of Bible classes or in sermons. So I'm thankful to be able to do this. So the topic that I want us to think about this evening is recognition after we die. Right? After those who die in Christ, right, and go on to be with Christ, will we recognize each other over there? I think that's a great and very powerful topic to consider, right? So a lot of this, you know, when we think about these spiritual things, it'll help us to be spiritually minded. We'll be more successful in our faith. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't directly, you know, when we think about this question here, this idea of recognition after death, the Bible doesn't directly deal with this, but we do see a lot of implications that memory, personal identity, like in our scripture reading a moment ago, are retained in the soul after death. And that's my premise for this lesson here. And that's my assertion that we will retain memory and recognition. And, you know, if we didn't, just right off the start right here, we wouldn't even know what we're being saved from or what we had been saved from. And of course, our earthly relationships, they're not going to exist in the same way that they do here on this earth. But Jesus deals with that in Matthew 22 and verse 37. But the redeemed will be in immortal bodies, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 45. Right? The redeemed are going to go into the heavenly realm where paradise now is to be with the Lord. Right, we've talked about that quite a bit. And I am going to remind us a little more of that here in just a moment. But I think following passages like this indicate that we will know each other in heaven. Right, you're going to see several there on the screen. We're going to kind of go over a few of those as we continue in this lesson here. But 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with him. So we know that if we're in Christ, when we die, we're going to be with Jesus. All right, so now that question is, when others who are saved in Christ, they die and they go to be with Jesus, are we going to recognize each other there? And I think that we will, based on a few passages here that we're going to look at, but let's first consider or be reminded of a couple things here. I'm going to talk about the immediate home or abode of the saved, and you know, this is probably the number one question I get, and so I thought it's well worth talking about again. So scripture, as we looked at before Jesus died for us on the cross, we had to had the Hadean realm with torment on one side, right? Luke 16, rich man Lazarus. You had torment on one side where the rich man went, and the other side, paradise, Abraham's bosom, right, where Lazarus went. When Jesus died on the cross, he told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, right? So Jesus dies, goes to the Hadean realm, and that's where paradise is. But then after 3 days, of course, we know that Jesus resurrected from the dead. And from that point on, we see that paradise is now in the heavenly realm where God the Father is. Right? So after Jesus dies on the cross, we've got a new covenant paid with blood. If we are in Christ and we die, we still go to paradise. But it's now where Jesus is, where the Father is in the heavenly realm. And that's not yet heaven. Right, we looked at scripture for that. If we die outside of Christ before the day of judgment, we still go to torment. And torment's terrible, it's awful, but it's not even as bad as hell's going to be. Right? And so on the day of judgment, Those who are condemned, they're going to go on to hell, that lake of fire, Gehenna. And those who are in Christ, that are in paradise before the day of judgment, will go on after the judgment day in heaven. Right, the new heavens and the new earth that we've talked about. And so we get to be with Christ in a state of conscious bliss. Right, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for example. And if we're in Christ, we die, we're in immediate fellowship with him. Right, and Paul declared to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Later he says to depart in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. And to be with Christ is far better. Right, so Paul understood in Christ when he died, he's going to be with Christ immediately. And of course, you know, the word that you might hear sometimes is called, that's the intermediate state before the day of judgment. So, you know, when we even looked at the church at Ephesus in our Wednesday Bible class, right, it says to the church at Ephesus, right, for the overcomer, you're going to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God, Revelation 2 and verse 7. In the book of Acts, when we think about what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and he went down into the Hadean realm, right? It says in Acts 2 and verse 27 that his soul was not left in Hades, and his body did not see corruption. Right? In verse 32 and 33 of Acts, in this sermon here on Pentecost, right? Then Jesus was raised up and exalted at the right hand of the Father. Now, I do want to read this real quick before I move on. Ephesians 4. Let me read Ephesians 4, 8 through 10 here real quick. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, that's a quote from Psalm 68 and verse 18. And then in verse 9, he says, now this he ascended, what does it mean, but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, right? That would be in reference to the Hadean realm, right? Before he ascended, Hadean realm, the unseen world, the underworld there, where he had torment and paradise. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things, right? Those 3 days in the grave. And so I just wanted to point that out where we fully understand that if we're in Christ today, before the judgment day, when we die, we get to be with the Lord immediately. And that is in paradise, and paradise appears to be in the heavenly realm right now. And again, outside of Christ, torment in the Hadean realm. That's what our Bible, I think if we look at it honestly, that's what we find out. So there's a lot of questions that, in all of that, that go beyond our limit of understanding. And again, you know, we're curious people, we want to know things, and sometimes not knowing frustrates us. But again, I would encourage us to understand that God tells us what we need to know, not everything that we want to know. All right, and like I say in these studies here also, I think it's good. You know, God has wisdom. He knows what he's doing, right? He made us. He knows the way our minds operate. When we're searching out these truths, what are we doing? Well, we're being spiritual. I wonder about this. I wonder about that. And I think that curiosity gets us to think about these spiritual matters that are very important. And so two things here I want us to think about. When we think about, you know, unbelievers, they're going to be in a state of anguish, of course, torment, and then on to that lake of fire, Gehenna. And the spirits of those who die in Christ ushered immediately to the paradise of God. Remember Jesus, John 14 and 1, verses 1 through 3, he's going to go prepare a place for us. Right? So we need to cast our mind to the spiritual and take comfort with these words. Now, some believe that there's not going to be any memory of earthly relationships when we get there. Because again, you know, in heaven, many think you couldn't be happy with the knowledge or the awareness of your unredeemed loved ones that are not there. But I think the Bible has solid evidence that there will be recognition, at least in paradise, and if not, also in heaven. And so just consider a few things here. You know, the Old Testament patriarchs, they fully expected to be reunited with their loved ones, the redeemed loved ones, right? You can look at Genesis 25 and Genesis 37, 2 Samuel 12, right? And it talks about the patriarchs of old being gathered to their people, right? And that's a comforting thought, right? Being gathered to our people. You know, the Lord promised that we will fellowship with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. So I think a logical question then, you know, won't we know when this promise of Jesus is realized? Right? So if so, then the patriarchs will be recognized. And if we will know them, I believe it's certain that we will know each other. And several other passages, and let me just mention a few here. Just read a couple and mention a few. Isaiah chapter 14, this passage refers to the king of Babylon who is recognized by those in Hades upon his death, right? So in torment, the torment side of the Hadean realm. Now, the New King James say hell, but it's the word for, or even some translations say Sheol, but that's a Hadean realm or the grave. Ezekiel chapter 32, this passage speaks of Pharaoh and his army, who is recognized by others in Hades, the torment side there, who in turn recognize those of Assyria and Elam and Edom and others. Right, so there's recognition, right? Remember the rich man in Luke 16, right? There's recognition there, right? He's Father Abraham, help me out. You know, at least dip your finger in some water and put it on the tip of my tongue. And so we have that again in Luke, the 16th chapter, right? The rich man and Lazarus. There was that recognition of Lazarus and Abraham. In 1 Thessalonians, now I got this backwards on here. I'll just put that up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, we read this. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. And very similar there in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, right? So these passages reveal Paul's expectation at being with his converts at the coming of Christ. Right? Recognizing them there is going to be a great joy for Paul. Right? He said, you know, I put in that work, and when I get to see you there in that spiritual realm, it's just going to be so joyful. So I do believe that indicates a recognition on the other side in that spiritual realm. And again, this is meant to give us comfort today. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, go back here with me real quick in verse 11. Right, so we got reference here to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, right? The recognition of which here would increase the joys of those present when this occurs. And the dismay of those, if you look at verse 12, who are going to be cast out into outer darkness, right? Eternal separation from God, hell. And we could add to these examples Samuel, who after the death of Saul recognized him, after Samuel's death, Saul recognized him in 1 Samuel 28, plus Moses and Elijah were recognized on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew, the 17th chapter. Now, I want to note here just a couple of objections to this, just to kind of be have a little more in-depth reasoning in this. And, you know, they're not the worst objections, but I do think there's some good answers to it. And the number one objection to the idea that we'll know each other there would be that it would cause unhappiness in heaven. And I did mention that a little bit earlier. You know, the ones that we love on this earth that aren't saved, we wouldn't be happy in that spiritual realm. Therefore, you know, as God says, no tears in heaven, you know, all your tears will be wiped away, and therefore we're not going to recognize each other there. But I think, you know, what about Jesus and, individuals like the rich young ruler, right? And he loved him. You know, so Jesus, I don't think we could say that he would be unhappy. So just kind of some thoughts there to think about. And I think maybe a good answer to that lies in the fact that when we die, right, all earthly ties that were not in Christ, including family ties, will lose their meaning. When we see things from the perspective of the spiritual. Remember Mary at the tomb, and she was crying, and the angel said, "Why are you crying?" In other words, from heaven's perspective, Mary, there's no reason to cry. Right? If you had a broader, fuller spiritual understanding of what happened, this is the best news that could have ever happened in all of humanity. In Matthew 12, I think passages like this kind of help us understand, right? So, you know, again, when we die, all earthly ties that were not in Christ, including family ties, will lose their meaning. Because we're going to see things in the perspective of Christ. So Matthew 12, beginning in verse 46. "And while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" And Matthew 10 and verse 37, very similar. I think that points to the direction that our spiritual family, we will finally see, becomes our true family. Right? As it was with Jesus. Our love for Jesus will far surpass the love that we have for others. Right? Or does not God have the power and ability to stop that sorrow and to stop that pain? Revelation 7, 17 and 21 and verse 4. And I think he's got the power to remove any of that unpleasant awareness of loved ones of this earth not being there among the saved. Right? The next objection. Now, according to Matthew 22, when people read this, I think they believe that all earthly ties will lose their meaning. And for this reason, any recognition, the objection would go of those whom we have known on earth would be meaningless, right? So here's the answer to that. In Matthew 22, let me read 29 through 31. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels.'" Like angels, we're not going to become angels, right? We dealt with that several lessons ago, right? When we die in Christ, we don't get wings, as people say, and become angels, right? No, grandma didn't become an angel, right? If she's in Christ, it's something far better than the angels. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, remember, we're going to judge the angels, right? So, like angels, and here alluding to the spiritual nature. So, but are like angels of God in heaven, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? Right? So the passage simply teaches that there's not going to be any marriage relationships in the resurrection, right? And we're going to be spiritual in nature, spiritual in a new nature. 1 John 3 and verse 2, we're going to be like him, right? And it doesn't say that all relationships will be abolished. It doesn't teach that there will be no recognition. It's just there's not going to be marriage in the heavenly realm is the main teaching in this. So just a couple objections there examined and I think, you know, logically answered. And so let's go ahead and have our conclusion here. So there's good reason to believe that we shall know each other after this life in the heavenly realm. I do believe in the torment side of paradise before the day of judgment, there's recognition. Now, in eternity in hell, I don't know the answer to that. I would tend to say yes, probably, because I think that's part of the torment. But I couldn't say for sure. No passages come to mind. But absolutely, I believe there's recognition in paradise. Right? We will know each other. There will be a recognition, kind of like our scripture reading earlier from Revelation 6, 9, and 10. Right? The saints around the throne of God, they were aware, apparently, of what was going on the earth. Right? They were calling for justice for those who were persecuting the brethren on the earth. Right? So we do see that recognition. Now, after the day of judgment, in eternity in heaven, we know there's going to be no more tears, no more sorrow in that final abode. And I believe we will recognize each other in that. And God's going to do it how God wants to do it, to remove that pain of somebody that we love not being there. And again, I think this can serve as a powerful motivator to live our lives pleasing in the sight of God. I think this should motivate us to have a sense of urgency with those that we love that have never obeyed the gospel. Right? We're in a life and death business, and that should motivate us to do what we need to do to get them right in the eyes of God. So I want to end this lesson just how we began. Think about how comforting it is to know that God has a plan for us. How comforting it is to know that he's provided a way for us. And the comfort that we have in knowing that this world's not our home. Right? We're not meant to be here. That's why we get old. That's why we get sick. Right? We're not supposed to be here. Right? This is just a short amount of time the Lord has given us to make preparation for that great and terrible day that is absolutely coming. And in that, of course, I think it's another reason why a study like this is profitable. So this evening, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, this might be it. Right? And the whole Bible is a message of warning and a message of hope. Right? God loves us enough to warn us. He loves us enough to give us a hope. Right? And we can either examine the evidence and obey that, or we can reject it. And so that's the call here, to weigh out the evidence of who God is, who Jesus is, and then respond. And in that response, the Bible teaches us clearly we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to believe Jesus, who he is, what he did, what he accomplished. John 8:24, we need to repent of our sins. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. But you need to start changing the way you're thinking, the way you think to that of Jesus, Acts 2:38. You need to be willing to confess Christ before men, Romans 10:9-10. I'm not ashamed that Jesus is a Christ, Son of the living God. Right? Like Peter in Matthew 16. And then you need to reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water, baptism, for the removal of your sins, Romans 6:3-4. So if you haven't done that, let's take care of that this evening. Or if you have fallen away, you're ready to come back, be reconciled to God, something we can help with, now don't hesitate. Let us know, please, as we stand, as we sing.